Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Steve Scroven, a board member at Public Citizen and host of Stand Up for Main Street, a political comedy benefit for Public Citizen in its second year. He graduated from Yale University in 1979 with a degree in English and began his career as a stand-up comedian. He wrote for television shows, including Seinfeld, Everybody Loves Raymond, and Till Death, and co-wrote, produced, and directed An Unreasonable Man, the documentary about the life and career of Ralph Nader. Welcome to Background Briefing, Steve Scroven.
Thank you, Ian. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, well, thank you. So you've made the documentary on Ralph Nader, and of course, I think the genesis of Public Citizen is so interesting in as much as it came into fruition because of corporate excess and thuggery, I guess. You know, Ralph Nader was investigating the safety of automobiles in this country, and instead of listening to him, the big car companies sicked private detectives onto him, tried to destroy his reputation and slime him. Now we know that's kind
impossible.
Now, exactly, but it's also a kind of business as usual, unfortunately.
Yep.
And then as a result, they had to pay this enormous settlement, and that became the seed money for Public Citizen. I've got that right, haven't I?
That's correct, yeah. General Motors really financed all of Ralph's crusades, and Public Citizen was sort of the institutionalization of the Nader's Raiders concept that Ralph had become a star in 1966 simply because they tried to squash him, and he won this invasion of privacy lawsuit.
Well, of course, corporations have gotten smarter since then, and arguably they run our country. They certainly own our politics, if not outright. Almost those they don't own, they rent. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's really. Public Citizen does two things. We watchdog the government to make sure that agencies like the FDA and the Auto Safety Division are doing their thing. But really, it is about resisting corporate power, sort of being that antidote to K Street.
So how did this come about? This was your brainchild, wasn't it, having this political comedy benefit for Public Citizen?
Yeah, it came about because after I did the movie, I got to know, I had interviewed Joan Claybrook, who is the president for 27 years, starting in 1980, and Sid Wolfe, who is also one of the founders. Joan and Sid and Ralph were all founders, along with Alan Morrison, who founded the litigation group.
Of Public Citizen.
Of Public Citizen. And I was all of a sudden hip to the fact that there were so many of these people that Ralph had Johnny Appleseeded that were doing all of this very important work, and nobody knew about them. It was under the radar. And to me, they were heroes. And, you know, part of what An Unreasonable Man does is kind of bring that story to light. And they, as a consequence, I say consequence because it, you know, ended up costing me more money, but asked me to be on the board. And I'd never been on a board before. And now I find myself going to Washington a couple times a year, and I'm sitting with all these very smart lawyers and doctors and journalists, and I'm a stand-up comedian and a comedy writer. So I was kind of, you know, the comic relief and taking the minutes every once in a while, and I was trying to figure out how can I really help. And I could help because I'm out here in Los Angeles. I can do a stand-up comedy show. That's what I know. So last year I decided to get a bunch of friends and people that I knew together, and we organized this benefit. We called Stand Up for Main Street, and we did it in June, and it was a big hit. We filled a 500-seat theater, and it was a great show with Paula Poundstone and Jeff Garlin and Dom Herrera and Bill Burr and Hal Sparks and Andy Kindler, and it went so well, they asked me to do it again, and so I kind of found my niche on this board, somebody who'd never been part of an organization before, always been sort of a independent contractor, and that's how I found a role to play.
Again, I'm speaking with Steve Scroven, a board member at Public Citizen and host of Stand Up for Main Street, a political comedy benefit for Public Citizen in its second year.
I should tell you who's on the show, Ian.
I was about to go through that, but why don't you go through the list?
Well, my friend Ray Romano, Mark Maron from WTF, that great podcast, Dana Gould will be on the show, Wendy Liebman, Eric Rivera, Rick Overton, and Morgan Murphy. It's just a really great lineup, something there for everybody. Right. And I told them that they don't necessarily have to be political, that there'll be plenty of messaging done before, after, in between. So they're going to be funny. I mean, some of them are, political, Mark and Dana in particular, Rick.
Yeah, I've had Mark on. But again, Ray Romano, Mark Maron, Dana Gould, of course, with The Simpsons, Wendy Lieberman with The Late Show, with David Letterman, yep. Rick Overton with The Office, Eric Rivera with The Tonight Show, with Jay Leno, and Morgan Murphy with Late Night, with Jimmy Fallon. Of course, thanks to Jon Stewart, comedy and journalism have been merged, surely.
Well, it's a way that it makes all of this very complex stuff make sense. And comedians in general seem to be filling a niche to sort of interpret all the hypocrisy. And you have a show like The Daily Show, which takes a video clip of somebody saying something 3 years ago and puts it up against what they're saying now. And why aren't the regular news outlets doing this kind of thing? It takes a comedian to sort of say, hey, all of this stuff's been recorded. Let's put it together and see how they're lying, how they're contradicting themselves, where the hypocrisy is. And it's really kind of very, I don't know. I saw John a couple of years ago at the Emmys. I said, you're saving America, John. He was very humble about that, though.
Well, unfortunately, I think, Steve Scriven, that what's happened here is that our watchdogs have become lapdogs.
Yep.
And the system that operates when you cover politics, it's all about access. So if you burn your bridges with politicians, you don't have access. And if you don't have access, then the media company doesn't want you. You know. So with no surprise that during Bush Sr.'s regime, ABC's White House correspondent Britt Hume, who later went on to head up Fox News, his finest moment was getting to play tennis on the White House tennis court. So, you know, traditionally journalism was a kind of a class struggle. Working class journalists were always against and naturally suspicious of the establishment. You had Hector MacArthur. I guess the last of that breed would be Jimmy Breslin. Now, if you go to a newsroom or a television studio, a network news television studio, it's kind of like an insurance office. You know, nobody smokes. They all look very corporate. Something's really happened, I think, to journalism.
Well, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's about access. And I think why people seem to be turning to comedians is because they can tell the truth. They don't have to couch anything. They don't have to be a politician. They don't have to have this sense of false equivalency or false balance. They can just call a spade, and I think that's refreshing.
Well, I have to tell you, Steve Scriven, as a consumer, as a journalist, I'm a consumer of Public Citizen. And by that, I mean that every day I get maybe 200 or 300 solicitations from right-wing groups who are very well organized. They give you lists of people you can talk to, the talking points on of the day, whatever the stories of the day, they're right on top of it. They've got people, most of what the people they're offering and what the people are saying are totally absurd. But the point is they do it,
yeah.
And there's so little on the left in terms of a resource. So every time I need to know what's going on at the Hill and what is the latest piece of mendacity making its way through the Congress, I turn to Public Citizen, and they've been filling me in on the Stock Act recently,
yeah.
And also on that disgusting bill called the Jobs Act.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right, and I do the same thing. It's like there's this cacophony of all of these contradictory things out there, and so when I want to know what's really happening, I go to Public Citizen. I go to the website. Since I'm on the board, sometimes I can even make a phone call and say, hey, what's the real story, like you as a journalist. But, that's the antidote.
So why, then, is there such a deficit on the left, do you think, Steve Scriven, in terms of resources, in terms of coordination?
Well, I think it's the classic, on the left, and major opinion polls will usually back this up, most people back a progressive agenda, but it's all about organization, and actually the Tea Party and the Occupy movement are pretty good crystallizations of this, where the Tea Party is this wealthy, funded by industrialists, tapping into that sort of populism. they have the money to get involved in elections and to do demonstrations, whereas the Occupy movement is going to have to depend on organization, and because they don't have the money to play that game. Organization is just a lot harder to do than top-down wealth. So I think that's probably, you know, why.
Well, but I think you mentioned the Occupy movement, Steve Scroven. I mean, that has brought something really remarkable to the table and very enduring, and that is this dichotomy between the 1% and the 99%. And that's, I think, really gotten into the national consciousness. And the comedy benefit that you've organized, Steve Scroven, again, a board member at Public Citizen and host of Stand Up for Main Street, a political comedy benefit for Public Citizen at the Writers Guild Theatre this coming Sunday, April 29th at 6:30. KPFK is a proud media sponsor. The very title, Stand Up for Main Street, that smacks of the 99%, because the dichotomy is pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Between Main Street and Wall Street.
Exactly. Wall Street and K Street. And it's funny because I came up with his name about a year ago before the Occupy movement. So I think Public Citizen really has a role to play, this is in my opinion, as the Occupy movement starts turning their demands into policy. It's an organization like Public Citizen that has the professional expertise to do that and to be the tool that takes whatever is happening, whether it's at a local level or at a national level, and kind of turning it into a campaign, a specific campaign or a specific policy, because we have the professionals who know how to do that. We have our own lobbyists. We're just the lobbyists for the people.
Well, and pretty much on a dime, too. I mean, that's what I, it seems to me that Public Citizen, of all the public interest lobbyists, has been around for decades, but it's operated very effectively on very little resources. As we mentioned in the beginning, Steve Scroven, it all came from the settlement from General Motors, who were trying to destroy Ralph Nader's career and kill the messenger. And they've done enormous value for money. I take it you're stepping in here because they need help, right?
Well, yes, it's a constant battle to keep the funding up. And when Ralph was running it, he hasn't had anything to do with it for the last 30 years. He was a celebrity. And people, you say Ralph Nader is appearing somewhere, people would come. And then what Ralph does, it's kind of a MO of his, is he starts a group and then gets away from it. So it's not influenced by the vagaries of his popularity. And Public Citizen was a case in point. So in 1980, he kind of turned it over to Sid and Joan. And Joan was the president for 27 years. Robert Weissman is now our president for the last 2 years or so. And but none of them are celebrities like Ralph was. So we need to work that much harder to get the message out about the work that we've done, all the lives that have been saved, whether you're talking about airbags, whether you're talking about 23 dangerous drugs taken off the market, access to justice, campaign against Citizens United. It's all of these things. It's a pretty wide portfolio. And, we're kind of lean and mean and can get things done, but we need the support.
Well, you've had a pretty fascinating career, Steve Scroven, the organizer of this.
You can call it eclectic or checkered, depending on your opinion.
Yeah, well, checkered has a sort of a different connotation than eclectic. Having started your career as a stand-up comedian, then you became a television writer for shows such as Seinfeld, Everybody Loves Raymond, Until Death. And I'm curious to know, just in political terms, because that's how, unfortunately, I see the world, that so many of the comedians, one of the things that the right wing gets all sort of lathered up about is Hollywood, as you know.
Sure.
In many ways, you know, you don't turn to Hollywood for your expertise on national security matters, and politicians turn to Hollywood for money. But at least these individuals here in Hollywood with a little bit of money, compared to corporations, it's a joke, seem to have a conscience and seem to want to participate in politics and level the playing field. I mean, we can see what's going on with the corporate PAC money now.
Right.
It's not the 1% that's dictating who our political leaders are in this election. It's the 0.63%.
A handful of people, yeah.
So far. So I'm always actually quite proud of people in this town who step up. Of course, they get slimed by Fox News. But
right.
One of the thing that always occurs to me, the reality here is that there's no parity in terms of celebrity and actors and talented people. They tend to be on the left and support causes more to do with supporting their fellow citizens than making the already wealthy wealthy. And it's just such a striking difference. You know, you've got George Clooney on the one side and Chuck Norris on the other.
Right.
And in terms of comedians, it's like everybody except Dennis Miller.
Yeah, yeah, there are a few, but whatever you think about the quality of what Hollywood puts out, it's essentially this large artist community. And this is my theory based on my own observation. And artists tend to be open, tend to be ahead of the curve, especially in social issues. And therefore will tend to be more liberal. And I think that's one aspect of it. When you talk about the corporations that sort of control everything, I mean, NBC Universal, that's owned by General Electric. Of course, you've got Rupert Murdoch's empire. You've got Disney. These are not exactly paragons of liberalism. But the artists and the individuals and, you know, many of the executives at lower levels tend to be just more open and liberal. And maybe it's because a lot of them just came up from nowhere.
Well, you know, Fox tried to do a right-wing version of The Daily Show, and it lasted all of a day. So
it's hard when you control, when you're on top. Comedy is always easier coming from down below, when you're the oppressed, because within every joke is an element of dissent. And if you have nothing to dissent about, then it's harder to be funny. Then you can be funny making fun of the little people, but that tends not to endure.
No, it's usually quite nasty. Well, Steve Scroven, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Steve Scroven, who's a board member at Public Citizen and host of Stand Up for Main Street, a political comedy benefit for Public Citizen in its second year. He graduated from Yale University with a degree in English and began his career as a stand-up comedian. He wrote for television shows including Seinfeld, Everybody Loves Raymond, and Till Death, and co-wrote, produced, and directed An Unreasonable Man, the documentary about the life and career of Ralph Nader. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.